ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम टू अवर भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग द फोर्थ कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम इन द लास्ट फाइव सेशंस, एंड वी हैव कंप्लीटेड अप टू द 24th चैप्टर ऑफ द फोर्थ कैंटो। इन द फर्स्ट सेवन चैप्टर्स वी हैव सीन द एपिसोड ऑफ सती, शिवा एंड दक्ष, एंड इन द नेक्स्ट फाइव चैप्टर्स फ्रॉम चैप्टर नंबर 8 to 12 we have seen the story of Dhruva Maharaj, his determination and devotion. And later we also have seen the stories of Veena, Anga Maharaj and Prithu Maharaj up to the 23rd chapter. In the lineage of Prithu Maharaj, there is a great king named Prachinabarhi. And this Prachinabarhi had 10 sons. They are called the Prachetas. And these Prachetas were sent by Prachinabarhi to the forest to perform austerities before they accept the responsibility of the kingdom and household life. So the Prachetas went to the forest and they saw a water reservoir there, a beautiful lake. And from that lake, Lord Shiva came out along with so many of his associates. And knowing that these Prachetas are about to worship Lord Vasudeva, Shiva voluntarily gave them guidance in the whole worship of the Supreme Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. He taught them a beautiful song called Rudra Gita. So the Prachetas learned this Rudra Gita from Lord Shiva, and they chanted this beautiful song, which is a prayer to the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and they chanted this song for 10,000 years while doing austerities under the waters. While the Prachetas were engaged in these austerities in the forest, their father Prachinabarhi was in his kingdom and he was absorbed in karmakandic rituals. Karmakandic rituals means doing so many fruitive sacrifices, the yajnas, with the necessary paraphernalia as recommended in the Vedic scriptures. And in these sacrifices, so many animals were also sacrificed, they were killed. So he is absorbed in this kind of sacrifices. Sacrifice has its role. A king has to perform yajna, but one should not become so addicted to these sacrifices in the name of conducting so many yajnas for increasing one's own prestige or whatever. Here, as Prachinabarhi was absorbed in performing these rituals or sacrifices, Narada Muni once went to Prachinabarhishat and asked the king, "My dear king, what are you planning to accomplish from the performance of so many such rituals and sacrifices?" And he became very compassionate. Narada Muni became quite compassionate on Prachinabarhi. He is just wasting his time. He is spending a lot of time in conducting these sacrifices. This Prachinabarhi was so addicted to performing these yajnas that he would perform one yajna, and while this yajna is coming to a conclusion, the preparations for next yajna are already, they will already begin. And as soon as he completes this sacrifice, he will go and sit in another sacrifice. Like that, back to back, he is doing so many sacrifices. Prabhupada writes in the purport that in Kali Yuga, the greatest sacrifice or yajna is Japa Yajna or the Sankirtana Yajna. Means the yajna of chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord. So one has to perform Sankirtan, or the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord Krishna in this Kali Yuga. So just like Prachinabarhi is doing back-to-back sacrifices, as soon as he completes his one sacrifice, the preparations for the next sacrifice are already being made, and he will just continue. He will go to the second one. So like that, we devotees have to perform Sankirtan Yajna, purposes like that. But he was doing karmakandic rituals, and Narada Muni became compassionate. Prachinabarhi is the descendant of such glorious personalities like Dhruva Maharaj, Anga Maharaj and Prithu Maharaj. So coming in the lineage of such exalted souls and pure devotees, he is absorbed in karmakandic rituals, fruitive sacrifices. So our Narada Muni became very compassionate on Prachinda Barhi, and he voluntarily went to enlighten this king, Prachinda Barhi. So he asked him, he said that, my dear Prachinda Barhi, what do you desire to achieve by these karmas, by these karmakanda sacrifices? It is not possible to get rid of the miseries and attain happiness by doing these rituals, by doing these karmakanda sacrifices. So one cannot attain happiness, one cannot give up distress. Okay. Now Prachinda Barhi, although he was absorbed in these rituals, he was not arrogant. He was humble. He was simple at heart. So he was just addicted to all these sacrifices. That does not mean that he has no respect for sadhus. He was not doing them by disrespecting or offending Vaishnavas. When Narada Muni came, Prachinda Barhi had the simplicity and respectful attitude and humility to inquire from Narada Muni. Narada Muni, I thought this is the right thing to do, but please instruct me in pure knowledge. Right? Since my intelligence is entangled in karma, I don't know what is the ultimate goal of life. Kindly instruct me in knowledge so that I can get out of this entanglement. So Prachinda Barhi requested Narada Muni, and Prachinda Barhi also could identify that one who is so absorbed in this karmakandic rituals cannot understand the real goal of one's life. Prahalad says in the 7th canto, Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi vishnum durashayaye bhirarthamaninaha. So people cannot understand what is the real purpose or goal of their life. They don't understand what gives them the ultimate spiritual happiness. They are just absorbed in so many materialistic activities. Prachinda Barhi even says in the 6th shloka, Griheshu kota dharmeshu putra daradhanarthabdhihi naparam vindate mudho brahmyan samsara vartmasu. He says, Griheshu kota dharmeshu. An attached materialistic householder is completely absorbed in kota dharma, in this external duties of family maintenance. And putra dara dhana arthadihi. So his whole purpose is to maintain his sons or children and money and wife and relatives and all the other household paraphernalia. Na param vindate mudho. Such an ignorant person cannot understand param means what is the supreme spiritual goal. Brahmyan samsara vartmasu. Because of this, they will just run in the repeated cycle of birth and death. So being in household life is not wrong here. The point is, getting just absorbed in one's own household affairs alone and not at all taking any time for spiritual practices, na param vindate mudho, not understanding the real goal of life, which is liberation from this material existence, that is wrong. So he says that, Prachinda Barhi, he even admits that. And then Narada Muni shows a vision, a mystic vision to Prachinda Barhishat. He shows some animals there. Oh, Prachinda Barhi, you have killed so many animals in so many sacrifices that you had conducted. Now see, all those animals are there waiting for your death. If you die, then these animals will pierce you with their horns. Please see in the sky those animals you have sacrificed without compassion. All these animals are awaiting your death to revengefully pierce your body with their iron horns. Like that he shows a mystic vision to Prachinda Barhi. So basically, there are certain sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic scriptures only. However, they have certain limit and they have certain purpose. Ultimately, sacrifice is meant for the pleasure of Vishnu and for the prosperity of citizens. That's the reason why Rajarshis or saintly kings perform sacrifices. But in the name of sacrifices, if someone is addicted to animal killing, that is not proper. That's why the Supreme Lord Vishnu took the form of Buddha. In Jayadeva Goswami's song, he glorifies Buddha's incarnation. Nindasi yagna vidhe hahaha shruti jatam sadaya hrudaya darshita pashu ghatam keshava dharita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha hari. Nindasi yagna vidhe. There are so many yagna vidhis, rules and regulations for conducting yagnas. Nindasi, people exploit them. పీపుల్ అన్నెసెసరీలీ యూటిలైజ్ దెమ్ ఫర్ దేర్ ఓన్ పర్పసెస్. శృతి జాతం, దే సే దట్ ఆల్ దీస్ యజ్ఞవిధీస్, ఆల్ దీస్ రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్ ఫర్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ ఆర్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ ద శృతి స్క్రిప్చర్స్, సో వాట్స్ ద రాంగ్ ఇన్ డూయింగ్ ఇట్? దే సే లైక్ దట్ అండ్ దే కిల్ యానిమల్స్ ఇన్ ర్యాంపెంట్లీ. సదయ హృదయ దర్శిత పశుఘాతం, సీయింగ్ దిస్ ర్యాంపెంట్ యానిమల్ కిల్లింగ్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్, ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ విష్ణు బికేమ్ కంపాషనేట్, వెరీ కంపాషనేట్ అపాన్ దిస్ యానిమల్స్. సదయ హృదయ, హిస్ హార్ట్ వాస్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ కంపాషన్, సో హీ డిసెండెడ్ యాజ్ బుద్ధ అండ్ హీ సెడ్ దట్ స్టాప్ దిస్ వేదిక్ రిచువల్స్, స్టాప్ దిస్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ దట్ ఇన్వాల్వ్ యానిమల్ కిల్లింగ్. దెన్ పీపుల్ సెడ్ దే ఆర్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ ద వేదిక్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్. దెన్ బుద్ధ సెడ్ ఐ విల్ రిజెక్ట్ వేదర్స్. సో నాట్ దట్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ వాంటెడ్ టు రిజెక్ట్ వేదాస్, హీ అండర్స్టాండ్స్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ వేదిక్ నాలెడ్జ్. వేదైశ్చ సర్వైర్ అహమేవ వేద్యో వేదాంతకృత్ వేద విదేవ చాహం, ఆల్ ద వేదాస్ ఆర్ ఎమినేటింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్. దే ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ద నోయర్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత, హీఈస్ ద కంపైలర్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత. బై స్టడీయింగ్ ఆల్ ద వేదాస్ హీ ఈస్ సపోజ్ టు బి నోన్, దట్స్ వాట్ కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత. వేదైశ్చ సర్వైర్ అహమేవ వేద్యో వేదాంతకృత్ వేద విదేవ చాహం. వేదైశ్చ సర్వైరహమేవ వేద్యో మీన్స్ ఐ ఆమ్ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ వేదాస్, మీన్స్ బై స్టడీయింగ్ ఆల్ వేదాస్ ఐ ఆమ్ సపోజ్ టు బి నోన్ బై ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. వేదాంతకృత్, ఐఎమ్ ద కంపైలర్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత. వేద విదేవ చాహం, ఐఎమ్ ద నోయర్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంత. సో ద లార్డ్ నోస్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ది వేదాస్. బట్ వెన్ సమ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ టేకింగ్ దోస్ కర్మకాండిక్ పోర్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదాస్ అండ్ దెన్ ఎంగేజింగ్ ఇన్ కిలింగ్ యానిమల్స్ ఇన్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్, the lord could not tolerate it, that's why he came as buddha and then stopped this. So now here narada muni showed all these animals to prachinnabarhi and said that they are waiting for your death. So overindulgence in animal sacrifices is risky because as soon as there is a small discrepancy, the slaughtered animal may not be promoted to human form of life. In the vedic sacrifices, a animal is sacrificed and in that sacrifice that animal is given a better body, and animal can be promoted to human form of life also, and for that brahmanas are supposed to be having the right method of chanting mantras and the purity in their heart also. Often times in Kali Yuga especially, that powerful brahmanas who can revive the life of sacrificed animal are not present so much. So that's why this kind of animals are, animal sacrifices are prohibited in Kali Yuga. That's why Ashwamedham Gavalambam Sanyasam Palapaitrukam Devarena Sutotpattim Kalau Pancha Vivarjayit. So this Ashwamedha Yagna, then Gomedha Yagna, these are all banned or prohibited in Kali Yuga. So Narada Muni was teaching Prachinabarhi. He begins to teach him, tell him an allegorical story of Puranjan. He says, okay, to enlighten Prachinabarhi, let me speak to him an allegorical story. So this allegorical story of Puranjan is basically the story of Prachinabarhi only. So this is the story of a conditioned soul who becomes entangled in this material existence because of material intelligence. So what would be the journey of a conditioned soul who associates with material intelligence and gets entangled in this maya? So that is the whole allegorical story, which Narada Muni begins from 25th chapter and goes up to 28th chapter, and he gives further explanation of this analogy, allegory, in the 29th chapter. So we will discuss this story now. So he says, Narada Muni says, that I will narrate an old history of a king called Puranjana. Pura means city. Jana means the resident of the city. Puranjana means one who dwells within the city of nine gates. And what is this city of nine gates? That is this body only. The body has nine gates. The body has nine holes, two eyes, two ears, mouth, etc., two nostrils. So that is the nine gates are there in this body. So Puranjana means the conditioned soul who lives within this body. Sometimes the Lord is also called Puranjana because the super soul also lives within this body. But the super soul is not entangled by this body. He does not enjoy or suffer because of this body. But the conditioned soul undergoes a lot of experiences of enjoyment and suffering in this body. So Narada Muni says that there is one personality, one king named Puranjana, and this Puranjana is also called Brihatshrava. Brihatshrava means one whose activities are glorified a lot. He is very famous for his activities. The conditioned soul does so many activities in this world. And this Puranjana has a friend named Avignata. Avignata means one whose activities are not known properly. And who is this Avignata? The super soul, the Paramatma within the heart. So all the personalities and other aspects in this allegorical story represent the real life of a conditioned soul here in this illusory world. So, and this Puranjana was searching for a suitable place. And Puranjana traveled all over the world. He went to different places, and then finally he could not find any place that is suitable to fulfill his desires for sense gratification. And finally he found one city. He found a city of 9 gates. And he thought that this city of 9 gates is very conducive for my sense enjoyment. So this city of 9 gates is the human body. So the conditioned soul also goes from one material body to another material body, and then he continuously travels, and finally he attains the human form of life. And in the human form of life also he enjoys sense gratification. And the whole city is described here from the 14th shloka till 19th shloka. The city of 9 gates is described. Basically the human body is described. The walls of this city are considered the skin of the body. The parks in the city are considered the hairs in the body. The towers of the city are the higher parts of the body, like nose and head, etc. And the trenches and canals are the wrinkles and depressions in the body. So these are all wrinkles and canals. And windows are the eyes. And gates are the eyelids. So now, eye is the window. You open it and then see outside. And eyelid is the gate. You close the eye like that. And houses are the three modes are three dhatus. Houses are made of gold, silver and copper in this city. So they are compared to the three dhatus of kapha, vata, pitta, or the three modes, which are sattvaguna, rajoguna and tamoguna. And the capital of the city is heart. And the floors are made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds and rubies. So these floors are basically various plans that the conditioned soul has for sense enjoyment. And the assembly house is the heart, we discussed already. The street crossings are the place below the palate where the passages for mouth, nose and ears and eyes would meet inside. And the streets are the different nadis. Then gambling houses are the gross locations for senses. The market is the mind, gross mind or brain. Our resting places are compared to chitta or consciousness. So the wind and waterfall and spring air, they are compared to the different types of rasas and smell. So like that, the city is compared to various elements of the various parts of the human body. Next, Puranjana comes to this city and he sees all these aspects of the city, and he finds one beautiful woman in that city. And who is this beautiful woman? She is Puranjani. And who is this Puranjani? She is the representation or personification of the material intelligence of the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is Puranjana. His material intelligence is Puranjani. And she arrived there on her own. And she was accompanied with 10 servants. And each servant had hundreds and hundreds of wives. And who are these 10 senses? Who are the 10 servants? The 10 servants are the 10 senses. We have 5 knowledge senses. We have 5 working senses. They are compared to the 10 servants of this material intelligence. Intelligence is there. That is subtle. But when the intelligence plans to derive some sense enjoyment, we need senses also, right? So just intelligence cannot enjoy. So one should have senses to enjoy. So the servants of this Puranjani are compared to the 10 senses. And the city is protected by a 5-headed serpent, a snake. And this 5-headed serpent is the prana or the life air. So prana, pana, udana, samana, vyana. So there are different life airs, right? So they are compared to this serpent. And also, she is very beautiful and young, and she appeared anxious to find a suitable husband. So intelligence cannot function without consciousness. So that's why Puranjanis sets for a husband is compared to intelligence associating with the consciousness. And the consciousness is the symptom of soul. That is Puranjana here. Puranjana is the conditioned soul. And she had a beautifully decorated face that is compared to the ways of acquiring knowledge. And she had a beautiful nose, that is the knowledge to smell. She had beautiful teeth, that is ability to taste various flavors. She had beautiful forehead, that is the clarity of intelligence. And she had beautiful ears with dazzling earrings, that is compared to ability to understand the meaning of the scriptures concerning enjoyment and liberation. And she was dark in complexion, that is the intelligence of the Jiva is covered. Jiva cannot understand the Lord. So the black complexion of this Puranjani means the material intelligence is not sufficient to understand the Lord, is not capable of understanding the Lord. And she is dressed in yellow sari and golden belt. So that is intelligence covered by the actions in passion, mode of passion. So her 2 feet had jingling ankle bells. So that is compared to hearing of scriptures. So in this way, Puranjani, that woman, is a representation of the material intelligence, and various aspects of that woman are compared to various aspects of the material intelligence. And also, she was looking very youthful, and her other bodily limbs are compared with raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion. So these are the functions of material intelligence. So now, Puranjana saw this beautiful woman, Puranjani, and he was spontaneously attracted to this woman. And Puranjani also was attracted to Puranjana. So they both were attracted to each other. The conditioned soul and material intelligence have a natural attraction towards each other. And Puranjana went to this woman and asked, "Oh, my dear woman, who are you? Where are you coming from? Whose daughter are you? What is the purpose of your being in this city? And who are these 11 strong bodyguards that you have?" She had 10 servants. And she also had this big serpent. So who are them? And who is that serpent? And who are the women following them? So like that, he asked so many questions. Answers to them we already discussed. And basically, when the soul asks, "Who am I? Why am I suffering here? Who is God? What is my connection with God? What is this world around me?" So these are the right questions that a person is supposed to ask. In Lord Chaitanya's teachings, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so these questions are considered very important. But the conditioned soul, instead of asking, "Who am I and who is God? So what is the Sambandha Jnana? What is the prayojan of my life? What is the Abhideya? Or what is the process of reviving my relationship with God? How do I perform Bhakti Yoga?" Instead of asking these kind of questions, the conditioned soul will inquire, "How do I get my sense gratification? And this person seems to be the source of my sense gratification. What is the identity of this person? Let me just explore more into this source of sense gratification. Let me be more curious to understand more things about it." So like that, a conditioned soul ends up wasting one's time in one's curiosity or pursuits to enjoy his senses. Then Puranjana is asking, "Oh, beautiful woman, who are you? Are you Bhavani? Are you Saraswati? Are you Lakshmi? I am sure you must not be these three women." So Bhavani is the wife of Shiva, Saraswati is the wife of Brahma, and Lakshmi is the wife of Narayana. So he is saying that, "Are you these divine ladies?" But I don't think so, because your feet are touching the ground. So who are you? And can you join with me? Looks like you are looking for a suitable husband. Can you join with me? Can we marry? I am agitated seeing your shy glances and shy smiles. I am getting influenced by Cupid. So can we marry?" So like that, he just proposed in front of this Puranjani, who is material intelligence. And Puranjani was spontaneously attracted to Puranjan also, And she says that, I am also attracted to you. I don't know my name. I don't know who has begotten me. I don't know my family. And I don't know the names and origin of those who are accompanying me. And I only know that I am existing in this place today and nothing else. I don't know who has created this residence. Basically, when will this conditioned soul acquire this material intelligence? And how did this material intelligence has so many impressions stored within itself, and how all the material senses and life airs and other entangling substances and material desires are formed, one cannot trace out. It is very difficult to trace out the history of the entanglement of conditioned soul. So there are 10 senses that are represented by the 10 servants of Puranjani. And these 10 servants had hundreds and thousands of wives. They are all sensual desires. So what is their origin? Puranjani says that I don't know. I don't know the origin of these 10 senses, 10 servants. I don't know the origin of their wives also. I don't know how did they manifest, how did they accompany me. So it's very difficult to understand how we have acquired so much of material desires and impressions. And all these associates are there to constantly protect me. And the material intelligence thinks that all these sense desires and all this will give me happiness and they will protect me. But they will entangle the conditioned soul more and more. And Puranjani invites Puranjana, you can live in this city as long as you like. We can live here for 100 years. And I want to marry you only because others are incompetent. So basically, human being is the more capable personality. Human life is considered the best of all the other species of lives. And she also says, let us happily enjoy household life. And you are hero. And let us enjoy. So like that, Puranjana and Puranjani means the conditioned soul and material intelligence married each other and they started living in the city of 9 gates. Means this material body. In this material body, the conditioned soul and the material intelligence got married and they are living in this material body. And there are 7 gates we discussed, right? So what are the 7 gates? Sukadeva Goswami, Narada Muni describes to Prachinu Barhi in this 47th shloka till 53rd shloka. The first gate is, now there are some gates in the 5 gates are in northern direction. 5 are in east and east direction. And 2 are in south and north directions, that are ears. And others are in the western direction. So Khadyota is 1 gate. And that represents the left eye. And Nalini and Nalini are the 2 nostrils. They represent, they go to the sense object of Saurabha, means smell. And Avirmukhi is the right eye, very powerful. So they both go to the, they go through the gate of the form. They basically go out to find beautiful forms. Basically, eyes look for beautiful forms. And for the eyes to be able to see a beautiful form, the eyes need assistance from a devata. And who is that devata? Surya devata, means sun god. So without sun, our eyes cannot see anything. So here, the eyes come in contact with, eyes are the senses. The senses come in contact with the sense object of a beautiful form with the help of this sun, that is Surya. And the nostrils smell with the help of Avadhuta or nose. He is the accompanying friend. And mouth eats, or mouth tastes so many palatable dishes with the help of tongue, that is Rasana and Vipana. So like that, all the 9 gates are there. So the 2 eyes, nostrils, and ears, and mouth, and anus and genitals. These are the 9 gates. So through these 9 gates, this Puranjana goes out to search for sense objects, to experience sense objects. And to experience those sense objects, some demigods should help and support, like that. So there are other inhabitants of the city also, their feet, their hands, their Vishuchina, that is mind. So in this way, Puranjana happily lived in the city of nine gates with Puranjani, the material intelligence, and experiencing sense gratification in various ways. That completes the 25th chapter. Now we enter the 26th chapter. Once, Puranjana goes out to hunt in the forest. He's a king, right? So a king goes to hunt in the forest, and Puranjana goes in a chariot to hunt, and the whole chariot and the arrows and different paraphernalia that are there in the chariot are compared to the human body in the first three verses of this chapter. Puranjana is the soul and the chariot is the body, and Puranjan's golden armor is compared to Rajoguna, or the passion, mode of passion. And his quiver with unlimited arrows is compared to infinite material desires. And he has two special explosive arrows. They are ego and possessiveness. Ahamta and mamata. Ahamta means ego, false ego, identifying oneself to be something. Mamata means possessiveness, identifying something as one's possession. And there are five special arrows. They are the Jnanendriyas. And there are five horses. Five horses are the Jnanendriyas. Five special arrows are the activities of these Jnanendriyas, knowledge senses. And there are two wheels to this chariot. The two wheels are compared to the sinful activities and pious activities. And there are three flags. They are compared to the three modes of material nature. And there are these ropes with which the driver of the chariot drives the horses. These ropes are compared to the mind, and the driver is compared to intelligence. This is another comparison. Puranjani is material intelligence. That is one comparison. But in this chariot, there is another example. The intelligence is compared to the driver of the chariot, and the mind is compared to the ropes of the chariot. And the horses are compared to the senses. And the sitting place in the chariot is compared to the heart. And the seven coverings of this chariot are compared to the seven dhatus. So the two poles to which the harness is fixed, they are compared to lamentation and illusion, which are the causes of bondage. So there are 11 commanders along with Puranjana. They are the 10 senses and the mind. So like that, the whole body chariot analogy is described in this 26th chapter. So Puranjana goes on this body chariot to the forest to hunt animals. So Puranjana had a desire to hunt. So this desire to hunt is specifically the desire of the conditioned soul to search for the opposite gender, for sense gratification. And he is influenced by demoniac propensities. When a king goes out for hunting, so sometimes it is to protect common people from ferocious animals and to practice his arts, etc. Sometimes the hunting of a king is bona fide, but sometimes some unscrupulous kings unnecessarily hunt to kill animals just as a habit. So influenced by demoniac propensities, his heart became very hard and merciless, and without consideration he killed so many animals with sharp arrows. And the scriptural regulations are there for animal killing. Sometimes animals, ferocious animals, may be killed to protect the public, and there may be some different bona fide reasons under which animal could be killed if it is unavoidable. But one should not unnecessarily kill animals. So he disregarded all the scriptural regulations to kill animals, this Puranjana, being so merciless and cruel. And the followers of scriptural restrictions are bona fide people. They are sensitive people. But people who disregard scriptures become merciless, and they unnecessarily do animal killing, and they eat the flesh of animals. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yaha shastra vidhim utsrujya vartate kama karatah nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukham naparam gatim. He says that one who gives up shastra vidhis, are the rules and regulations of the scriptures, and behaves whimsically, vartate kamakarataha. Whimsical behavior means just acting according to one's sensual urges. that is not proper for a human being. A human being is meant to act according to certain prescribed standard rules and regulations and prescriptions and prohibitions. There are certain standard norms and protocols and policies for the guidance of the humanity. So one is supposed to follow all of them and not behave whimsically. So now, seeing that Puranjana is unnecessarily killing so many animals, some people who have compassion in their hearts, some merciful people, they became so pained. They did not approve the activities of Puranjan. And Puranjan killed so many animals unnecessarily. After hunting for a while, Puranjan comes back to his house. And when he came back to his house, Puranjan saw his wife Puranjani became so morose. Because Puranjan left her to do hunting. So his chaste wife Puranjani was lamenting in the house. So, and Puranjan came back and he was very hungry and thirsty. So because he was troubled remembering his sinful activities, and he returned home, means he has given up sinful activities, and when he returned home, that is compared to his adopting dharma. And he took bath, so that is compared to his calling of brahmanas and having them perform certain atonements. Okay. So Puranjan's returning home and doing all the activities at home are compared to a conditioned soul purifying himself after realizing his sinful activities. Okay. So Puranjan decorated himself with ornaments. The decorations are compared to knowledge and religion. And Puranjan remembered his queen Puranjani. That is compared to a conditioned soul's remembering his previous state of mind, which is good. So conditioned soul may sometimes stick to sinful activities, but he restrains from that sinful activity and thinks that I am supposed to be behaving in a proper way along with in accordance to dharma. So that is the comparison given. And Puranjan felt satisfied, joyful and proud, means the impressions of his sinful life are vanquished. And Puranjan wanted to enjoy with his queen. So he became eager for enjoyment with his queen. That is compared to the souls being fixed up in his dharma. So far, so Puranjan's going out for hunting is compared to a unscrupulous man's hunting for woman. And Puranjan's coming back to his wife is compared to that sinful man realizing his sin and then reinstating in the proper dharma of associating with his wife. Like that. And Puranjan saw so many household women, and the women are all actions of the Antahakarana, mind, body and senses. Like that, whatever Puranjan has done in his house are compared with so many activities of a conditioned soul after realizing his sinful propensities. Then Puranjan pacified his queen, and Puranjan's pacifying of his queen is compared to a devotee's thinking that the Lord has punished me for this and I will not give up this proper intelligence again. So Puranjan has given up his intelligence and then he went back. He went to the forest. So now he came back to his proper intelligence. Here in this context, Puranjani is compared with proper dharmic intelligence. In the previous chapter, Puranjani is compared to material intelligence that entangles the conditioned soul. Now in this particular chapter, Puranjani is compared with dharmic intelligence. So like that, different comparisons are given. So that completes the 26th chapter and we enter the 27th chapter. There are so many other details also, and we discussed only a summary and gist of it, a simple format of it. And 27th shloka describes the death of Puranjan, the final moments of Puranjan. So Puranjan enjoyed with his wife, and the king welcomed his satisfied queen who approached him having bathed and dressed nicely. And captivated by the Cupid and the beauty of the queen, Puranjan enjoyed with her for a while. So then that is conditioned soul's engagement in this family life and samsara. And in this way, Puranjan always remained in the arms of his wife and could not understand the meaning of self-realization, neither as the Jiva nor as the Lord. So he could not understand. Now, associating with one's chaste wife is proper according to dharma, but being henpecked and being so absorbed in one's family affairs only, neglecting one's spiritual activities, that is not considered very glorious. So Puranjan's coming back to his wife, giving up his hunting is appreciated to that degree. But Puranjan's spending so much of time with his wife only, neglecting all spiritual duties, is not very much appreciated in this fourth verse of 27th chapter. So the wife represents dharma. Associating with dharma, he became attached to dharma. And that became the goal of his life rather than liberation. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all are nice. But one should not stick to only dharma. So dharma is the different duties that one has to perform. But oftentimes people perform dharma to get artha, means economic development. And they use their money to fulfill their kama. Kama is sense gratification. And when they're frustrated in kama, they think of moksha. That is Sayujya Mukti. Oftentimes this is the way. But one has to do their dharma to get these two to certain degree, as much as required in the life, artha and kama. But one should ultimately think of moksha also, not just sticking to different religious rituals in the name of dharma and engaging oneself to get artha and kama only. One should think of moksha also, liberation also. So dharma is constituting of so many duties that one is supposed to perform in this world by being a human being. But not only that, external dharma, there is a more exalted dharma which is called paro dharma. Savaipum samparo dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaji ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Paro dharma is bhakti yoga unto the Supreme Lord. And that bhakti yoga has to be performed without any motivations and without any interruptions, with pure intentions and no irregularities. There should be consistency in our attempt and there should be purity in our intent. So that is paro dharma. But if one gives up that paro dharma or transcendental dharma and sticks to only material dharma, that is not very much appreciated from the perspective, from the spiritual perspective of the soul. Now, Puranjan was doing a dharma of killing so many animals. So he gave up that activity and came back to his wife, who represents dharma, the intelligence, proper dharmic intelligence. And sticking to dharma is also not sufficient. One has to come to parodharma. That's the whole comparison here. And Puranjan was attached to his wife, and eventually Puranjan and his wife begot so many children. So they got 1100 sons and 110 qualified daughters. And to increase the descendants of his parental family, he got his sons married and qualified wives and daughters married with their qualified husbands. And there were so many grandchildren. But all these family members, 1100 sons and 110 daughters and their children, grandchildren, all of them are actually acting like plunderers of Puranjan's wealth. Whatever wealth and glory and opulence that Puranjan has earned with his hard work, all these family members have plundered it. And Puranjan got implicated a lot in his desires, and eventually he became very old. And when Puranjan became old, a Gandharva king named Chandavega attacked Puranjan's city. So this Chandavega represents time factor. So time is calculated in, say, years. A person has 100 years. So now Chandavega attacked Puranjan's city. That is compared to this time factor attacking the conditioned soul. Means the tenure of the conditioned soul within this material body is coming to an end. So he is getting old. And this Chandavega came with so many Gandharva soldiers, powerful Gandharva soldiers. Who are the Gandharva soldiers? While Chandavega is time, the Gandharva soldiers are the days and nights. So days are Gandharvas, nights are Gandharvis. They are 360 in number. And there are white pairs of Gandharvas. They are the waxing phases of moon. There are black pairs of Gandharvas. They are waning phase of the moon. And Chandavega and all the followers of Chandavega attacked the city of Puranjan. That is compared to times attacking the conditioned soul's body. And when Chandavega along with the Gandharva soldiers attacked Puranjan's city, this five-hooded serpent, the assistant of Puranjani, material intelligence, this five-hooded serpent started fighting with this Gandharva soldiers with all its might. And the snake was fighting so much, and when this fight was going on, then all the citizens within the city, they were getting tormented. Puranjan, the king also is getting tormented. So now the serpent represents life airs or the pranavayus. So when death is coming to attack a person, the pranavayus will fight with the death. Just like the serpent, 500 serpent is fighting with this Chandavega and Gandharvas, like that. And the king is ignorant. And at this time, there is another side story which is connected to this allegory. At this time, Kalakanya is also called Jara. Jara means old age. So this Jara or Kalakanya, who is the daughter of this Chandavega, Chandavega is time factor. Kalakanya means the daughter of time factor, that is old age or Jara or Kalakanya. So this Kalakanya was looking for a proper husband. So Kalakanya or Jara are looking for, she is looking for a proper husband, but nobody is marrying her. That means nobody wants to become old. So she is the presiding deity or the personification of old age, and nobody likes old age. Nobody is accepting her. So now, because nobody is accepting, once she went to Narada Muni. And Narada Muni said that I will not accept you. Then she cursed Narada Muni, that because you have refused me, I will curse you that you cannot stay in a proper place. Because Narada Muni is a brahmachari, she thought that he can accept me, he can become old. But Narada Muni also refused. So then she became angry and cursed Narada Muni, saying that you will not be able to stay at one place for a longer time. And after that, this Kalakanya or Jara, she approached Bhaya. Bhaya means fear. So old age is Kalakanya and Bhaya is fear. So a person is overwhelmed with fear when there is old age. And this Bhaya took this Kalakanya to Prajwara. Prajwara is fever. There are many other details also. Prajwara is fever. So at the time of old age, when the death is coming closer, a person will get fever. So Kalakanya, which is old age, and Bhaya, which is fear, and Prajwara means the fever of death. All three will simultaneously attack a conditioned soul at the time of his death. So the death comes in the form of Chandavega, the time factor. So all these people started attacking. So Kalakanya, then Bhaya, then Prajwara, Chandavega, Gandharvas and Gandharvis, they are all attacking. Means basically old age, the fear of death and the time, the tenure of the person ended in that body. So all these are bringing the person, conditioned soul, close to death. Then because of the attack of Prajwara, we come to the 28th chapter. Because of attack of Prajwara, Kalakanya and all these Yavanas and Gandharvas, Puranjan city was totally attacked. And the whole city was on fire, and Puranjan was feeling so much of pain. And being embraced by Kalakanya, he gradually lost his beauty. Because during the youth, a person is beautiful. And when Kalakanya or Jara or old age embraces a person, the person cannot, the person doesn't seem very beautiful. And then he saw everything in his town was scattered, and his sons and grandsons and followers and ministers, all of them became indifferent. Because none of our desires or plans or intelligence, nothing will protect us. And Kalakanya influenced everyone, and all the objects of enjoyment became very stale. So because of old age, we cannot relish anything. When somebody becomes very old, the digestion becomes poor, and even if some palatable dish is given to him, he cannot enjoy them. He may not have teeth to chew the food, and he does not have the proper digestive capacity to digest the food, and he may not even have energy also to swallow the food. That is the situation of old age. When an old person may be given little drops of water or some saline or something like that, one who is on the deathbed, Puranjan's condition is like that. And Prajwara set fire to the whole city. Means Puranjan got fever. And the effects of fire are that the entire city was ablaze. The king along with the citizens and servants and wife and descendants began to suffer the heat of fire. Means all the bodily limbs are affected by fever. and the serpent got aggrieved and the serpent left. Means the life force of the person will just leave the body at the time of death. And there were loud cries, and Puranjan, while leaving the city, he was actually, Puranjan was being dragged by the soldiers of Gandharva. You can see the picture. So Puranjan means the soul who is inside this material body is forced to leave the body when he becomes old. So the Puranjan is being dragged from the city. And while he is being dragged, then he remembered all his so-called sweet dealings with his wife. So Puranjan was remembering his wife Puranjani a lot. And she wouldn't eat or bathe unless I do. And she is very devoted to me if I become angry and scold her. And she would instruct me when I was foolish. When I am away, she would lament. So like that, he was remembering all the sweet exchanges between himself and his wife. And he was very anxious. And Puranjan eventually was overwhelmed with bhaya or fear of death. And just because he is fearful, that does not mean death will stop. All the Gandharva soldiers just pulled him out of this body, out of the city. That means Puranjan died. But Puranjan died while remembering a woman. So in the next life, Puranjan became a woman. In the next life, Puranjan becomes the princess of Vidarbha city. His name, he would become Vaidarbhi. Puranjan, who was a male, became a female in the next life, and the female's name is Vaidarbhi. And this Vaidarbhi married another king named Malayadhvaja. And Malayadhvaja married this Vaidarbhi, and they had so many children, and their children have further descendants. They all had 7 sons, and they gave birth to thousands of sons. So like that, the daughters also had so much of progeny, sons had so much progeny, and eventually Malayadhvaja, who was the husband of Vaidarbhi, he retired to the forest. And Vaidarbhi, being a chaste wife, she also followed Malayadhvaja. And both of them went to the forest. And in the forest, Malayadhvaja performed so many austerities for perfection. And eventually, Malayadhvaja died. When Malayadhvaja died, Vaidarbhi was lamenting. Vaidarbhi lamented a lot for the death of Malayadhvaja. Malayadhvaja met with a glorious death. He meditated on the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva. He performed so many devotional austerities, and he did yoga, and he attained rati, or attraction for Vasudeva, and he realized his self, and he gave up his body in the thoughts of the Supreme Lord. But Vaidarbhi, she was very much anxious for the death of her husband. Because before the death of her husband, Vaidarbhi rendered a lot of service to her husband. During their household life, she was a very chaste wife. She gave birth to so many children and served the husband. And after the retirement also, Vaidarbhi rendered a lot of service to Malayadhvaja in the forest. And her attitude was very exemplary. In this context, the way Vaidarbhi rendered service to Malayadhvaja is very exemplary, and all the disciples are also supposed to render service to Guru in this way. We also discussed in Devahuti's episode, Devahuti rendered service to Kardama Muni, her husband, and Guru. Similarly, a disciple also should render service to the spiritual master in a proper manner. So after Malayadhvaja left his body, Vaidarbhi lamented, and when Vaidarbhi was lamenting, Avignata came there. Who is Avignata? We discussed in the beginning of the story. Avignata was the super soul. So the friend of Puranjana, Avignata, the Lord, the super soul, came in the form of a very old Brahmana and spoke to Vaidarbhi. Vaidarbhi, why are you lamenting? And Vaidarbhi said that, oh, old Brahmana, I am just lamenting for the death of my husband. I am lamenting for the death of my husband Malayadhvaja. So I am, then this Malayadhvaja said, I am your friend only. And this Vaidarbhi was asking this old Brahmana, who are you? And old Brahmana just revealed his whole identity. I am your friend. We both are like swans in a beautiful pond. And we both lived so happily together, but somehow you developed some materialistic tendencies and then you became Puranjana and later you became Vaidarbhi. But understand, you are neither Puranjana, a male, or nor a Vaidarbhi, a female, or the wife of this Malayadhaja. You are soul. Basically, the soul and the super soul means the living entity and the Supreme Lord are eternal companions of each other. But when the living entity develops a tendency to enjoy independent of the Supreme Lord, the living entity has to stay in this material world, in a material body, experiencing material happiness and material distress, and lamenting and experiencing so-called enjoyment and distress. So then old Brahmana, basically Avijnata, or the super soul, the Supreme Lord, enlightened Vaidarbhi in various ways. And he also explained about the qualitative oneness and quantitative difference between the Supreme Lord and the spirit soul. So we are one in quality with the Supreme Lord. He is Sachidananda and the souls are also Sachidananda. The Lord is eternal, we are also eternal. But somehow, quantity is different. He is unlimitedly blissful, unlimitedly independent, but our independence is very less and our bliss is also subjected to so many other constraints here. So now, in this way, this Vaidarbhi was given so many spiritual instructions Vaidarbhi was given so many spiritual instructions by this old Brahmana, Avijnata. Thus, I have given spiritual instructions indirectly through an allegory, since the Lord can be known indirectly or he is fond of indirect expression. So in this way, Narada Muni concluded his allegorical story. When Narada Muni concluded his allegorical story, Prachina Bharhi could not understand it fully. So Narada Muni had to explain it in more direct terms, and that we will discuss in the 29th chapter. We have completed up to 28th chapter. But why Narada Muni spoke such a elaborate, long, allegorical story of 4 full chapters? The reason is that sometimes great souls present the knowledge of Krishna consciousness with so many examples and other stories or comparisons and historical incidents, or sometimes in a very concise and direct format, sometimes in a very elaborate and indirect format. So different types of techniques are employed to enlighten a conditioned soul in Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni spoke an allegorical story to Puranjana, and also Jadabharat spoke an allegorical story to Rahugana in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th chapter. And Narada Muni also spoke an allegorical story to the Hariyashvas, the sons of Daksha, in the 6th canto, 5th chapter. Like that, Srimad Bhagavatam presents so many allegorical stories. These allegorical stories give us a proper comparison between the life of a conditioned soul and the various characters in that allegory, so that we understand the situation of a conditioned soul and the suffering and enjoyment of a conditioned soul through various examples. So ultimately, whether through allegorical stories or direct teachings, Bhagavatam and all the pure devotees are endeavoring only to bring us to the point of surrender unto the Supreme Lord by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is the essence of all these stories or teachings. Now, in the 29th chapter, Narada Muni gives direct teachings of Bhakti Yoga. 29th chapter has a lot of description of direct Bhakti, Sravanam and Kirtanam, and also how mind is the reason for the entanglement of the conditioned soul. So in the last episode of the 4th canto, which is the next episode, we will discuss the 29th chapter, the Narada Muni's conclusion of this whole story and his purport and direct explanations of this Puranjana episode. And also we will conclude the episode of Prachetas and their prayers and perfection. Thank you all very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Hare Krishna.